Here's what one federal employee union is asking of a federal agency. They want a complete office suite, all of the furnishings, internet access, long-distance telephone service, plus the use of agency auditoriums if need be, all to be paid by the agency, that is, the taxpayers. Well, is this a normal part of federal union activity? For some background, we turn to Bob Gilson, a federal dispute consultant and contributing author to FedSmith.com. Mr. Gilson, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
Okay, great to have you on. Now, you wrote in a recent posting about some of these demands. Tell us what it is the union, which union it is, what they're looking for, and then we'll talk about whether this is common.
Well, these are proposals from the American Federation of Government Employees. That's the largest federal union, represents about 650,000 people. And they represent what they're asking for is a fairly common demand from the unions for, in essence, a subsidy of all their costs of operation inside the agency. Before I wrote the article on space, I wrote one on official time in which the union was demanding a complete payment for representatives on official time for them to leave their regular duties and to do representational duties on the behalf of employees. And this is kind of a model language from AFGE that you'll see wherever you're bargaining a contract where they're the representative. And the same thing from the other unions in the federal sector. They want the agencies to pay their representation costs and also their administrative costs in operating totally throughout the contract term.
So what would the union dues then go for if everything's paid for by the federal government?
Well, one of the things they go for is organizing TSA. AFGE and NTU, as you know, just had a massive battle to gain recognition at TSA. It wasn't free. And that was paid for by union dues of the employees, which didn't have to be spent on any of the operating costs to represent those employees.
Now, do unions typically have offices only in the place where the employees represented might be headquartered, or would they have an office everywhere there's members of the bargaining unit?
Well, AFGE, in this contract proposal that I wrote about, that I included in my article, wanted an office anywhere that bargaining unit employees worked. So that, for example, if you had if you were a broadly scaled agency like Department of Labor and you had OSHA offices all around the country, they'd want an office in everywhere that those employees were in a federal building.
So if this holds true for the Transportation Security Administration, that's a lot of offices because they're in just about every airport.
400 of them nationwide.
But we don't know yet what it is they're asking for. I guess it's too early to tell on TSA.
This is common language that would be asked of almost any agency they would deal with. And so TSA is likely to see this exact language being proposed to them by AFGE.
So do all agencies go ahead and pay this, or does it vary what the union actually gets from agency to agency?
Well, it's interesting. It's a negotiable matter, of course. And we've been bargaining these kinds of things in the federal government since the statute passed in the late 70s. And contracts generally are rebargained every 3 years. And, of course, the union creates the expectation that it's going to get something every time it bargains. So if you turn over a contract 10 times, you've got to get something 10 times. And so agencies, and it also depends on who's running the agency. If it's a labor-friendly administration, they tend to give a lot more than perhaps a Republican administration would. And it's cumulative. Over time, the more you give, the more you give. And the country, it's very rare to see a take-back in a federal labor agreement.
We're speaking with Bob Gilson from GRA, Inc. He's a senior labor and employee relations advisor and a FedSmith author. And so in the case of, say, a TSA or any agency, who is it that actually does the bargaining with the union? Is it the head of the agency, the secretary?
That's a good question. We're in a time of flux on that right now. It historically, it has been a labor relations director or a senior manager charged with bargaining, career person who would negotiate with the unions. The Obama administration has initiated labor relations forums in which they encourage managers to be the ones who deal with unions directly, both political and career. And, of course, as political managers deal with the union, whole different agendas come on the table for dealing with their demands. And right now what we're finding is that we're seeing much, much more activity of politicals than we've ever seen. Even in the previous administration that first got into this was Clinton administration with its partnership executive order. But the Obama executive order calls for forums at the national level and at all levels throughout the agency. And these forums are staffed, or the people that sit on them are assistant secretaries and other political appointees. So the unions have a much higher profile in the Obama administration than they would have in other administrations in the past.
Now, I imagine Congress must be looking at this, because I think a couple of members have weighed in already on trying to get a handle on the costs of all this. Any legislative moves you've heard about that might move in to curb some of that?
Yeah, well, the Republicans, of course, right now, the new Republicans that have conducted hearings on this in the past. I think it was last month or the month before, they conducted a series of hearings on just on official time and the cost of official time, which exceeds, according to OPM, it's about $150 million a year that the government is paying for employees to represent other employees. I think that's a low ball figure myself, because it's generally not recorded. But back to your question, the Hill, the Republicans on the Hill would like to see that addressed. Congressmen, a number of the different congressmen have addressed this issue. Some have even put forth legislation to say that you can't use taxpayers' dollars to do certain functions that the union performs, like lobbying Congress. Right now, the federal union can lobby Congress on official time, which is kind of interesting because there's a statute that says they can't. But the Federal Labor Relations Authority has found that that statute is not applicable to federal employee representatives who lobby. And so it's a complicated business. Of course, nothing's going to happen in a situation where the House is controlled by the Republicans and the Senate is controlled by the Democrats. I don't see this getting much traction.
Would it be accurate to say that the unions push hard for this kind of thing, like having office space for, I guess, union employees as well as federal workers in the bargaining unit who also work with the union, bargaining unit, because they can't, in the federal area anyhow, bargain on wages and benefits?
I've been a chief negotiator for federal agencies many times. And it is kind of axiomatic among us, among those of us who've done that bargaining, that the number one issue for a federal union is generally an institutional issue, a union benefit. In other words, the number one goal that they have at the table is to improve their situation in the agency, because there's not a lot that they can bargain for the federal employee. Most of the federal employee benefits are covered by statute. The principal ones that they can get are things like flexitime and alternate work schedules and work at home, those kind of things. And most of them most of the agencies who can do it, do it. And as you know, there's been a lot of pressure for people to work at alternate sites, flexi place, that kind of a thing. But the unions, one of the things we've seen in year after year in bargaining is that they will go for a union institutional issue first, and then the other issues follow. So, yeah, it's a high-profile issue at the bargaining table.
So it seems like the bellwether to watch for people that are interested in this kind of thing is what the opening salvo is for TSA by AFGE.
Well, yeah, what you're going to see there is they're going to try and whipsaw TSA, it's a labor relations term, whipsaw TSA into gaining what other agencies have got over 30 years in their first contract. So you'll see all these proposals and more for TSA. And I think TSA is going to have a particularly hard time because a lot of they're 8 years into a new agency, and virtually none of their managers have managed in a collective bargaining environment. So all of the applications of the things the unions are used to, attending the meetings that deal with discipline and attending meetings that deal with changes in working condition, are going to have an enormous effect on the managerial workforce there, and I think also ultimately on the on the TSOs.
Should be interesting. Bob Gilson is a consultant who specializes in training federal agencies to resolve employee problems, and he's a contributing author at FedSmith.com. We thank you for joining us with that update. We'll follow how that goes.
Thank you very much.
And you can hear this interview again, find links to more information, and to his column at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.